After surviving this most vigorous temptation, that of blood and friendship, our hermit found peace, and only thought to double his penance and bind himself to heaven with a more fervent spirit. He conveyed his attention to his mother that, having kept what was necessary to his honest sustenance, he ought to arrange his abiding faculties in favor of the poor, and first of all, any whom he might have damaged in any manner. Then he decided to head to Rome to take indulgences when it was in the pleasure of the Lord. For several days he prayed for this particular intention. Then, having obtained with certainty the signs of the Lord's consent, he disposed himself to the pilgrimage. He suffered and practiced on the road every act of Christian humility, asking alms and charity, and employing himself in the service of every need he met on his journey. Arriving in Rome, he immediately went to St. Peter's, and there, at the foot of a confessor, he exposed his past life with such feelings that from them it was supposed that he ought to receive absolution. It was a confirmation of the forgiveness the merciful God had already manifested through the earlier miracle, when he saw the harshness of the living rock yield to his sword and into which it was wholly submerged. He visited the seven churches for the acquisition of indulgences, and then presented himself to the reigning Pope, Alexander III, of the Bandinelli family of Siena. Galgano was received lovingly, as he was already known to the pontiff by his reputation, and encouraged to ask for whatever he wanted. Galgano replied that he longed for three favors. The first, that His Holiness would continue to persevere in the good governance of the Church. Secondly, he wished that the Pope would grant him the relics of the holy martyrs Fabian and Sebastian, as well as Pope Saint Stephen, which he had as his particular patrons. Thirdly, indulgences for the dead of his family, particularly for his father as well as those still living, and, above all, for his mother. The Pope replied with this kindly summation, that in the first place he hoped, with the Lord's help, that he would persevere on the path he had undertaken. As to the second, he had given the order that the requested relics should be prepared, and to the third agreed with the usual formalities of the time. Meanwhile, the rector of Casadino, as well as the abbot of an abbey called Serena, a mile away from there, incited by an infernal spirit, took counsel to assail Galgano in his solitude, and there to sacrifice him to their envy, and impious anger kindled only by his penances, which were greatly contrasted with their relaxed way of life. They took with them an armed lay brother to Mount Sieppe. Not finding Galgano there, they raged against the sword. Since they could not pluck it up from the rock, they beat it with several blows, breaking it into three pieces, which they then threw to the ground. They burned the oaks which formed the hut of the saint, and destroyed what was there for his use. Soon after, however, they paid the penalty of their crime, because on their return a horrible storm arose, and lightning struck the abbot. The parish priest was drowned in a creek called Regeneto, and the lay brother had his arms ripped off by two wild wolves, which are still preserved intact, by divine permission, in the chapel mentioned above. While Galgano was staying in Rome waiting for the relics which the Pope had promised him, he was miraculously informed of what had happened to his hermitage, as well as what had befallen the offenders. This he lamented more than any injuries he received from them. Intent upon returning to his solitude, he urged from the Pope the promised relics. When questioned by the pontiff about several things, he related that he was informed by an angel of the damage done to the sword hilt which served as his crucifix, and his hut, as well as the exemplary punishment of the evildoers. The Pope, astonished and fearing it to be true as he claimed, sent with the utmost care and secrecy a quick messenger to Mount Sieppe, and meanwhile ordered Galgano to come back to him in a few days. The saint obeyed, and prayed to heaven that the mind of the Pope should be moved to let him go. He went back to the predetermined time, and found the Pope to be in a better disposition, having been inspired by the Lord that he should no longer delay his servant. Therefore, he would send him and handed over the relics to him. At this moment, the messenger returned, bringing the most exact confirmation of what Galgano had related. The Pope was surprised and moved. Therefore, he blessed him and recommended himself to the saint's prayers, since he had already discerned in him a true servant of God. With the precious treasure he so desired, Galgano departed from Rome and resumed his pilgrimage on the road to his hermitage. The distance of time, lack of memory, and above all, the saint's humility let him entirely ignore the many acts of Christian virtue he exercised on that arduous journey, as well as the many graces he received from the Lord. Finally, he came to Monte Siepe, and upon seeing the havoc committed by those wicked men, he became so sorrowful and disheartened that he thought he should choose another place more segregated and far away. There, quietly and without fear of any disturbance, he could abandon himself in all fervor of his penances. But heaven prodigiously made him resolve that he ought to remain there. He began to take into his hand the pieces of the broken sword and prayed to the Lord that he would will to grant him to venerate the hilt and the image of the cross as he had done before in his departure, that drawing them together they might be miraculously united. Heaven granted his request, and upon having witnessed another miracle granted from on high, Galgano burst into thanksgiving and tender effusions of his heart towards his benefactor and loving father. He placed the sword remade into the same opening that was first formed so miraculously.